I'm going to tell you something that no radio host ever says. If you have kids in the car right now, I don't want them to hear what I'm about to say. If you have kids in the car right now, you can get the podcast later at Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is. I don't want the kids to hear what I have to say now. This morning, there was a screening in Seattle of the October 7th footage that was taken by Hamas. Hamas went to the trouble of live streaming, recording the atrocities they committed against human beings. And it didn't matter if they were Jewish. It didn't matter who they were. It was that they were Israeli. It was that they were in Israel, because some of them weren't even Israeli. They went to the trouble of live streaming it. They went to the trouble of recording it. I've been trying to put on a brave face all day around my coworkers and things like that, but I'm not in a good place right now. I'm just not. There's a few moments from that 47 minutes of footage that was taken from closed-circuit TV cameras, from the Hamas body cameras that they were wearing, from the stuff they put on the internet. If you've been following me on social media, you've probably seen about a third to a half of the footage already, especially in the early days after October 7th. You've probably seen about a third to a half of it. Some of the worst stuff you haven't seen yet. Here are the moments that affected me the most. Towards the beginning of the footage, there's a dad and his boys, and they're all in their underwear. Kids, like, I don't know, probably like 13, 10, something like that. A father and two boys, and they're in their underwear. Probably because they don't have air conditioning and you're in Israel and it's hot and that's what they were sleeping in, and they got woken up by this, because don't forget, it happened first thing in the morning. That's how they were sleeping, because it's hot in the desert. And the father's trying to hide his boys, and he hears the terrorists come into the house, and he quickly grabs his boys and rushes them outside. And I think what he rushes them out into is a sukkah. Because don't forget, it was the last day of a holiday in Israel. The holiday had finished the day before with Shemini Atzeret and Simchas Torah. And what I think happens is, I think that's a sukkah outside, which is a tent-like structure that Jews have, a holiday that you sit in for 8 days. And he rushes the boys into the structure. And I guess you can't see him. You just see the doorway, and you see a Hamas terrorist chucking a grenade. And you see the explosion. And then you see the father's body hit the ground. And I assume he used himself as a human shield, because a few seconds later you see the boys come out. And they're bloody, but they're alive. And the father's clearly dead, and they're freaking out. They're freaking out. These two kids, they just watched their father be murdered. And they're sitting there going, why am I alive? One of them's going, why am I alive? What am I alive? And then he looks at his brother and he realizes his brother's missing an eye. You see the blackness over the eye. And he goes, can you see out of that eye? No, I can't see out of that eye. And a terrorist walks in. A terrorist walks in and heads for the refrigerator. Looks for something to drink, grabs himself a Coke, and just starts chugging out of the bottle with these kids breaking down in front of him. And you don't know what happens to those boys. Were they kidnapped? Were they killed later? I don't know. A scene cuts a few minutes later where it's the mother comes back to find her husband dead and her boys missing, and with the Israeli army. That scene stuck with me because I've got two boys. My father has two boys. His father had two boys. That's our family pattern. Two boys, and then whatever comes after that, depending on how many kids everybody had. And I started thinking to myself, I'm not trying to make this about me, but you start thinking to yourself, would I have been brave enough to take the grenade? And every parent says yes, but we know that's not necessarily true. Would I have been brave enough to take the grenade to save my sons? Would it have gone through my mind even, would my sons want to, what if my son saw me there like that, Dad? That's the first thing that stuck with me. That's the lightest thing. So if you haven't turned it off and your kids are in the car, please, please, I would feel forever terrible if at some event one of your kids came up to me and said that they heard this section of the show. I'm sorry. We'll do politics later. I promise. We'll talk about Biden and everything else later. See, number two that stuck with me is there's a Jew, I believe it's a Jew, I can't really tell, who's barely alive on the ground. One of the terrorists grabs a hoe, a gardening tool, a hoe. And as he's yelling with glee, Allahu Akbar, he starts hitting the person who's barely alive in the neck with the gardening hoe, screaming with glee, Allahu Akbar, proud of what he thinks is a Jew that he's killing. And I don't know if that's a Jew or not, but just saying over and over again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Throughout the video, you see these Hamas animals as an insult to animals, monsters as an insult to monsters. It's the lowest form of life, lowest form of creation. You see them giddy. You see them happy. You see them celebrating. There's a clip you may have seen on the interweb where one of the Hamas terrorists took one of his victims' cell phones to call his parents and brag about killing 10 Jews, and the parents are celebrating with him. That's in the footage. There's another scene where there's two dead Israeli soldiers, because there were soldiers killed during all this, and they filmed them beheading the dead body, and the head is still in the helmet. There's another scene when the rescue teams have showed up. The recovery teams have shown up. And what they find is a head that's been burned almost beyond recognition, covered in maggots. I've never seen anything like it. No horror movie can do any of this justice. There's another scene which actually reminded me of the movie Titanic. So you know the scene in Titanic when the guy who plays Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four, Ian Gutfeld, when he is in the boat and you see the frozen corpses in the water, and he's saying, is anybody alive out there? Is anybody alive out there? That happened for real, but it's a movie, so you can kind of separate yourself from it, but that did happen for real. There's a scene at the Nova EDM Music Festival, or what's left of the music festival, where the military or the police or whoever got there is looking for signs of life. And they come across a concession stand. Now, this is a big festival concession stand, and you see the same logos you'd see. There's kegs of beer that are hooked up to the pumps, and there's Coca-Cola fridges, and you see all the stuff you'd see at any festival. But you also see the bodies. You see the bodies lying there. They were hiding in the concession stand, hoping nobody would see them, and the entire floor is covered with the bodies. The entire floor of the concession stand, this massive concession stand, that's the size of, I don't know, probably the main floor of your house, because this is a big festival. And the soldier is saying in Hebrew, saying over and over again in Hebrew, give me a sign of life. Siman l'chaim, siman l'chaim, siman l'chaim, give me a sign of life, give me a sign of life. That I'm not getting out of my head. I'm not getting any of that out of my head. You see the aftermath of some of the beheadings. You see the aftermath of some of the rapes. This is the most graphic thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And there are people out there who are saying it never happened, who are saying, no, it's all a lie. Oh, the Israeli army did it. Oh, it's all a lie. Oh, Israeli helicopters did it. Because they don't want to let in a different narrative that might conflict with whatever the hell they want. we cannot share a planet with these creatures, these barbarians, these savages who did something like this. We cannot share a planet with them. They must be eradicated from the earth and sent to the dustbin of history. I knew Israel couldn't do a ceasefire. I know they had to do a pause. I'm not calling a ceasefire because they're trying to get the hostages back because they don't see any other way to get the hostages back. But after seeing what I saw, and the Israeli government and everybody in government has seen a lot worse than that because they've seen the aftermath for that with their own eyes. No ceasefire. No stopping. Until Hamas, Hezbollah, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and all the other terrorist groups are wiped off the face of the earth. And anybody who is out there, who is supporting these monsters, who's marching in the street with these monsters, either they are so dumb that they don't know what they're doing, or they know damn well what they're doing. They're emboldening, they're enabling, they're supporting all of this. Supporting all of it. I saw this clip last night. I saw the footage this morning. I saw this clip last night from Marco Rubio. He's walking through the halls of Congress, and he's confronted by one of these code pink activists who's asking about a ceasefire. Marco Rubio saw the footage just like I did. Marco Rubio is not Jewish. Marco Rubio is a guy I wanted to be president in 2016. Marco Rubio is the guy I supported in the primary. There's, if you can call that a primary, I call it a whooping. I've always loved Marco Rubio. I really have. All the sweatiness and all, I've loved Marco Rubio. So this code pink person comes up to him and they got somebody else there with a cell phone camera. He has seen the footage. Here's what Marco Rubio said.
Senator Rubio, will you call for a ceasefire?
No, I will not. On the contrary.
Senator Rubio, please.
Are you filming it?
Wait,
I want you guys to get this. I want them to destroy every element of Hamas they can get their hands on. These people are vicious animals who did horrifying crimes. And I hope you guys post that.
And what about
position.
The civilians
I
that are being
Hamas.
Killed every day?
Hamas should stop hiding behind civilians, putting civilians in the way. Hamas knew that this was going to lead to this. So Hamas has stopped building their military installations underneath hospitals.
So you don't
civilians.
Care that 15,000 have died?
Do.
You don't care about the babies that are
I
being
care.
Killed
I think
every
it's
day.
Horrifying. I think it's yeah. terrible. And I think Hamas is 100% to blame. That's what I think. Make sure you post that, please.
Love that, man. Absolutely love him. And the people in the room today? It was like leaving a funeral afterwards. Nobody knew what to say. Nobody knew how to act. Nobody knew what to do. That's what it was today, afterwards. And something else, some of our local mainstream media, some of our most trusted names in news around here, were too cowardly to even show up to watch it. This was a media screening. I know which ones told me flat out they can't handle it. I don't bear any ill will. In fact, I told them not to go. And I know which ones were invited and should have been there and didn't see it. I know which ones were too cowardly to see it. I know which ones, for whatever reason, didn't want their reporters to see it. My friends, people say all the time, oh, in the 1940s, I would have hid you in my attic, Ari. I would have saved you. We don't like that. Whatever you are doing now is what you would have been doing in the 1930s and 40s. If you are defending life, you would have been doing so in the 1930s and 40s. You probably would have been drafted into the military, and you probably would have been doing that. Or you would have been working in a factory because your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, you would have been doing that. You would have been hiding people in Germany. You would have been doing that. If you're defending life now, if you're showing up to the protests and you're not even Jewish, that's what you would have been. You would be doing exactly what you're doing right now. And the people out in the streets, they would have been the ones rounding up Jews. The Jews who are joining them out in the streets, they would have been the ones turning in their friends, turning in their people who go to synagogue with them. Whatever you are doing now is what you would have been doing in the 1930s and 40s.